This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
I know there are a number of theories about what killed off the dinosaurs. What are they?
Well, the competing ones really are an extraterrestrial impact, big volcanic events, especially in what's now southern India, as well as just gradual climate change over the last 20 million years or so of non-avian dinosaur history. 10 kilometer, about a 6 mile across, meteorite or comet crashed into the Earth off what's today the Yucatan Peninsula. They're all related events, and that they're all happening during the demise of the non-avian dinosaurs.
That's Mark Norell, head of paleontology at the American Museum of Natural History, answering Anderson Cooper's question recently on 60 Minutes, what happened to all the dinosaurs? Of course, the fossil record is there, and the standard theory prevails and has for some time. A combination of perhaps a cataclysmic event and then climate change, and then the dinosaurs die off, not suddenly, but they do die off, and it explains why they're not still with us today, why the vast majority of them, so paleontologists believe, have gone extinct. Now, how does that square? Can it be squared with a biblical worldview, especially a biblical worldview centered on the biblical account of creation? We'll be answering that question, what happened to the dinosaurs, here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkins. Thanks for tuning us in. Joel Heck will be our guest for the first few minutes. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us after that. You've seen it buzzing all over social media, haven't you? The covert Messiah theory. In a nutshell, it is being alleged by some scholars, and I use the word cautiously, that the New Testament is in fact a coded document written by an elite family of Roman emperors in order to consolidate their power in the Roman Empire. And if you read the code carefully, you will realize that none of what they wrote in the New Testament about Jesus is actually true. He's entirely fictitious, a conglomeration of various Messiah figures, and the New Testament was written entirely to wrestle control, well, actually to gain control over the masses and make them more easily led in the Roman Empire. It's an interesting theory. It's a novel theory. How do we respond to it? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. to answer those many questions. Bobby Rosh Jr. will join us after that in hour two. We'll talk about media coverage of religion. The Associated Press has a story on Mormonism and homosexuality. Do they get it right? And the Wall Street Journal actually has a pretty good story on businesses, religious liberty, and gay weddings. And then we'll be back to Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Today we'll talk about Ruth chapter 1, the story of Naomi and Ruth, finding Christ there. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at Issues ETC. Dr. Joel Heck is a regular guest. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and he's author of the booklet, In the Beginning God, Creation from God's Perspective. Joel, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be with you once more.
What's the basic flaw in this kind of complex of theories that often go around for the explanation of the demise of the dinosaurs, a cataclysmic event from an asteroid, climate change, and other factors? What's the basic flaw there?
Well, I think it's the willingness to fit evidence into a preconceived theory, which is largely uniformitarianism and great ages of the Earth, rather than to make the theory fit the evidence and to work from the evidence to the theory.
So, in a nutshell, are you saying that the presupposition about the immense age of the Earth is the basic flaw?
That's part of it, with all of the sedimentation that exists on the Earth assumed to have been laid down over long periods of time. Certainly, that would be a good part of it.
What does a Christian worldview, in particular a creationist worldview, what does it have to say in general about the existence of the dinosaurs before we talk about their non-existence?
Well, we would say that the dinosaurs were created on the sixth day, the same time that all the other land animals were created. And, of course, there were maritime dinosaurs, too. So they'd be created at the same time that all other sea creatures were created. And that they were taken on the ark along with all the other animals. Not too many people know that the average size of a dinosaur is about the size of a sheep. So you wouldn't take the mature dinosaurs that are beyond the age of being able to bear offspring, because they would be much too large and they wouldn't be having baby dinosaurs anymore. So the average dinosaur would be much smaller. They would have been taken on board the ark and likely went extinct after the flood, during the dramatic changes of the climate shortly after the flood was over.
And then, I guess, by that model, the vast majority of the dinosaurs not preserved in the flood event would, of course, perished in the flood event.
Yes, although there are some that contend that there are dinosaurs in existence today, not only the maritime dinosaurs that exist under the sea, but there is a 55,000-square-mile swamp in the middle of Africa in the Congo area, and the natives have described seeing a major reptilian creature. They even have a name for it. It's a very dangerous creature, and not too many people have gone in there with the kind of vehicles that can provide safety and speed and the ability to look for this animal. But there's a very good possibility that there are some living dinosaurs still in existence today, and that even the legends about St. George killing the dragon, that those dragons, dragon was the word for a large reptilian creature before the word dinosaur was invented in 1841.
Now, the prevailing theory about the dinosaur put them in a completely different time frame. How would you describe that time frame from the prevailing scientific theories?
The prevailing scientific theory says that dinosaurs ruled the Earth for about 140 million years and became extinct about 65 million years ago. And as that 60-minute clip indicates, the two primary theories still in existence today, among many dozens that have been proposed, are either large volcanic events, a series of events, or a major meteorite impact off the Yucatan Peninsula. In 1963, one geologist counted 46 different theories for the extinction of the dinosaurs, and there have been many others that have been proposed since, some of them fairly sensible, and others like slipped discs and chronic constipation, cancer, and AIDS being rather cute, clever, and not really needing to be taken seriously.
Does the evidence that is put forth by, or the purported evidence that is put forth by the Darwinists for both the age of and the extinction of the dinosaurs, can it also be as credibly fit into a younger Earth, as especially understanding the cataclysmic event that the Bible does refer to, the universal flood?
Yes, it can. There are some that suggest that, and I think this is likely accurate, that there was volcanic activity at the time of the flood, that the waters burst forth from the great deep. There were huge tectonic changes in the surface of the Earth, which allowed the water from underneath the Earth's surface to burst forth, in addition to the water coming down from above. And so the major theory of volcanic events that's part of the uniformitarian scenario is also part of the worldwide global flood scenario at the time of Noah, based on particularly Genesis 6 to 9. And likewise, some of the mineral elements that exist in more than 100 places where we know meteorites have impacted the Earth, there may have been meteorites or debris from outer space that were involved in the starting of the flood. In fact, that may be how God started it. Donald DeYoung, who is a creationist from Indiana, thinks that he at least offers the theory that there was a planet in between Mars and Jupiter that disintegrated, and some of the debris from the disintegration of that planet struck the Earth in quite a number of different places and helped to create some of those tectonic shifts.
In any event, it sounds as though what you're telling us is that the Bible accounts for the existence of these creatures, albeit by different name, doesn't use the term dinosaur, although we, of course, would not expect them to use that term, and that it also has a credible account for how they in the vast majority of them ceased to be.
Well, the flood doesn't really say how the dinosaurs went extinct. I mean, it explains the death of all living creatures apart from the animals that were taken on board the ark, but there's no explanation as to what happened following the flood, causing the extinction of many creatures, probably some of them being dinosaurs. But one of the more interesting things about the data for the extinction of the dinosaurs has to do with things such as dinosaur graveyards. I think they are a testimony to a flood rather than a gradual uniformitarian extinction of the dinosaurs. So, for instance, we have all these graveyards where lots of dinosaurs seem to have been buried together. Now, did they all know that they were going to die and they were on their deathbed, and so they all went to the place where all dinosaurs know that you're supposed to die? I doubt that. But there's evidence of violent depositing of these dinosaurs, and in fact, during the time of the flood, as the flood, the rain is coming down and the earth is shaking, it makes sense to theorize that these different dinosaurs got together in herds, and that when the waters overtook them, they died together. For instance, they've found an estimated 10,000 duck-billed dinosaurs entombed in a thin layer of about 2 kilometers by 1.5 kilometer in length and width in north-central Montana. And so all these dinosaurs got together and were trying to run from the rising waters and ended up probably being buried by a massive wave of water. And one of the other pieces of evidence for a catastrophic death of all these dinosaurs is the fact that there are really no juveniles in any of these dinosaur graveyards. The explanation that makes the most sense is that these juveniles, being younger, were not able to flee, couldn't flee as quickly, couldn't flee as well, and so they died much more quickly and were scattered and not buried, but their remains were totally destroyed. And even in these graveyards, the bones of these dinosaurs are smashed, are articulated, are separated from one another, and are show indications of having died violently. And water is almost always associated with these dinosaur graveyards, which makes a lot of sense since we have fossils of dinosaurs and many dinosaur graveyards all over the world, in every continent, including in the polar areas of our planet, which doesn't make sense given a uniformitarian perspective on this.
Dr. Joel Hick is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. He's author of the booklet, In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. You can find out more about this at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and order In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Hick, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been a pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. You've seen the theory. It's a new one. It's a novel one. It's, incredible in the literal sense. The covert Messiah theory, that an elite group of Roman rulers wrote the New Testament in order to, in essence, brainwash the Roman populace. We'll see what the theory is and whether it holds any water whatsoever after this.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the Communion of Saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites college undergrads to Christ Academy College and Phoebe Academy College, October the 17th through the 20th. It's a free weekend event that allows you to experience seminary life. For more information, visit ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ Academy College and Phoebe Academy College, October 17th through the 20th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.